Blog Talk Radio.
This afternoon, we are talking about trying to stay the same after a tragedy. Trying to stay the same after a tragedy. When something happens to you, you know, after you take a loss or an embarrassment, or if you lose a battle of some type, when all eyes are on you, or when it feels like they are, how important is it for you to try to remain looking the same, acting the same in the eyes of those who are watching you after something bad has happened to you? Now, something bad happens to each and every one of us. None of us makes it through this life without a tragedy, without a loss, without a hurt, without some damage. Sometimes the damage is collateral damage. Like, it not only hurts us, but it hurts other people around us. And it doesn't stop with just the damage that has happened from the strike. It may have long-term damage that you have to deal with over time. So that's what we're talking about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of people, especially on the internet, as a lot of people know, don't have any problems showing that they have been damaged, that they've been hurt, and that they are really, really struggling to deal with a problem that has happened to them off camera, off set, offline, in real life. A lot of people express their pain through their writings, through their postings, through their interactions online. So we get a lot of information about people that we don't know very well right here in real time, right in our own lives, right in front of our faces. So, you know, when I see somebody who conducts themselves that way or doesn't have a problem being transparent about their pain, I find it to be interesting. I don't have a problem with it. Some people take it to a little extreme, I think. But I don't have a problem with a person being transparent about what's ailing them. And that can be a really good thing, especially when you consider that a lot of people who have really tried to hide their hurt have been the ones who have been damaged the worst. And sometimes it has ended tragically, like in someone taking their own lives and things like that. And we don't want to get there. We don't want to go there. We don't want to see that. We don't want to experience that. But speaking of something like that, like, you know how devastating it can be when someone that you love, someone that you care about, someone who you are used to being there is no longer there because they have decided for themselves that they no longer want to be here. You know, parents have had to deal with this. Children have had to deal with this. Spouses have had to deal with this. All types of people have had to deal with this in every realm of race and ethnic background and culture. So one thing about when someone takes their own life, when somebody takes their own life, you always wonder what you could do in order to have prevented them from doing it. And a lot of times we have that survivor's remorse, you know, feeling that we weren't there for them. Maybe we could have done more and blah, blah, blah. And people suffer from this thing for years and years and years. And so that can be a clear-cut example where somebody might beat themselves up so bad over a loss like that. But they might be really transparent about it. Like, I didn't do enough. I wasn't there. I failed person. Have you ever known anybody who lost somebody and they said, and they really felt like the reason that they lost that person, and I'm talking about a life loss, was because they failed them? I've seen people write notes. I've seen people write letters. I've read letters, you know, saying, and I've had people tell me right here in my ear on the phone and to my face, like, I failed them. I'm so sorry. I feel like I failed. I feel like I failed a person. You know, they really take on that burden. But we all have to try to snap back like a really good resilient rubber band. We want to get back to what we were and how we were feeling. Even if the way that we were and the way that we were feeling wasn't all that great, at least it's familiar. People stay in abusive situations for years, decades, because it's familiar. Well, look, I know every day when I get home, either a bucket of oatmeal is going to fall on my head or somebody's going to punch me in the face. But then after that, we can sit and have a good time after a good cry. They get used to it. People get used to pain. People get used to abuse. As a matter of fact, have you ever had a pain that you've gotten used to for so long that when you don't feel the pain, now you think something is wrong with you? Man, the human mind, the human psyche is a crazy thing. Have you ever worked? Let me ask y'all this. And trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not getting off topic. Have you ever lost weight? Have you ever tried to lose weight? You dieted, you exercised, you worked out, you did everything that you were supposed to do. And then you finally start losing the weight. And losing the weight scared the shit out of you to the point where you thought that you were sick. You started losing weight and feeling better. I mean, looking better in your clothes and stuff like that. And then now you wonder, like, well, let me make sure I ain't get infected with HIV. Just me? In 2014, I lost so much weight. I actually fell under 200 pounds. In 2014, that's when I first started drinking Choline-Rheem. It was a year after I stopped drinking. And I lost all of this weight, and I didn't have, you know, this. I didn't have, you know, you see how my shirt is tight. It's not that it's a tight shirt. My arms are big. It's something that I'm used to. It's a feature that I'm used to seeing. When I come around, I'm used to people noticing me. And when I jumped on the scale and it said 191 or something like that, I was like, yo, wait a minute. Now, I was trying to lose the weight. I was trying to get down to about, I've always liked to stay around 200. Because that's the, yo, don't play with me weight. That's how I always looked at it. The 200 pounds and up, that's the don't play around with me weight. That's the watch how you say things to me weight. When I got under the 200 pound mark, and I noticed, well, I say to you whatever I want to say to you. You know that, you know what I'm saying? I felt that kind of energy. Anyway, I was saying all of that to say that we get used to bad conditions. Bad conditions can be familiar to us, and when the bad ends, we might not be ready for the good to start. We haven't prepared ourselves for better life, for better ways, for better conditions, for better feelings. So I'm saying all that to say that we try to get back to what we know. We try to get back to how we know how to feel, even if it isn't that great. So we try to shake off whatever extended damage or new damage we have endured. So we got hit by a meteorite. We were involved in a meteor shower. But let's make it easier. A devastating thing that can happen to a person is for them to lose their home in a fire. That is devastating. I don't care how much insurance you have. I don't care how much you recover your items and they may restore your home to pre-existing conditions if it's possible. I don't care about any of that stuff. If you lose your house, if you've ever been in a house that you could not move back into after a fire, it's going to affect you. God forbid you lost a loved one in the fire, but losing all of your pictures, your letters, your heirlooms, the things that you have worked for over years, your keepsakes, your way of life. You know, if you've lived in a place for a long time, it really gets hard to get used to driving or traveling to your new place. Sometimes you might not be paying attention and you on autopilot in your car and you wind up at your old place or on your old block and you don't even know how you got there. I know that because I've done it. Trooping my way up to Germantown Avenue and Topahawken Street because that's where I lived for the past 10 years. So losing your house losing your house in a fire, losing all your belongings, your possessions in a fire, there's some things that that insurance can't recover. And what they can't recover for you is your good feelings, your feelings of security, your feelings of safety. The place where you live is normally the place where you make the way that you want to live. You make it comfortable and to your specifications. So when, you know, after you have lost your stuff in a fire, you lost your house in a fire, you're going to try to get used to the new place that you're living in, whether it's an apartment, whether it's another house or whatever. You're going to try to get used to it, and it's not going to be easy for you. And people are going to notice, they're going to notice that things aren't the same with you. There's an adjustment period. There's an adjustment period. And you may not know. You might be thinking like, well, you know, yeah, ain't nothing changed except where I live. That's all. You know, so I'm trying to get new furniture for this place. I'm trying to get the new stuff. I'm trying to get comfortable. I'm trying to, you know, get the kids and or my spouse or whoever, you know, my roommates or whatever. I'm trying to, you know, get everything and everyone situated. But I'm all right. And you may think that you're all right, but other people can see things in you. They can see. Like, you know, it may not be a change. It might not be a change that concerns people like, yo, I think such and such is on the verge of a nervous breakdown or something like that. It may not be that deep, but it could just be like, yeah, after the fire, you know, even when such and such sees a fire, I lit my blunt to smoke it, and you know I saw his or her eyes get wide, like, yo, I'm just lighting the blunt, to the point where, you know, now until they get past this, I turn my back, you know, light the blunt. Come back. Things can happen, man. PTSD is a real thing. It's a real thing, and God forbid you had to escape the fire. You know, man, I'll never forget it. When I was burned out of my place, you know, climbing down that damn fireman's ladder, I was like, man, what in the hell? I never pictured myself climbing down the fireman's ladder for safety. I thought I would do it for fun one day. And you know, and then the firemen robbed me. They did. They robbed me. My place burned down Christmas of 1999 on Christmas Day. It didn't burn down, but there was fire damage, but there was no fire damage in my apartment. The firemen took advantage of the situation, and there were Christmas presents all over my coffee table. New earrings for my girl, diamond earrings for my girl. I bought everybody those. You remember that those watches called Esquire? They own a Movado. So I this was 1999 was that Christmas. Everybody in my family was popping. Everybody was getting money. We was exchanging gifts. We was doing it that year. And it was funny that it was that year that made it happen. But anyway, so the firemen stole some of the presents. On God, they did it. And I was like, oh, okay. So after that, I never liked firemen again, ever, and I never will. Every time I see somebody every time I see a fireman, I'll be like, to me, the firemen are like the cops. Because to do something like that to a person on Christmas, when they already get burned out of their crib, and then it's Christmas time, and then you compound their loss by robbing them. I ain't forgiving that. Now, of course, you could easily say that, well, oh, just because one or two firemen, did that to you, you shouldn't hold that against all firemen. No, you don't hold them against you don't hold it against all firemen. Me, I do. Fuck them all. But speaking of which, that probably was a visible change for me. I never had anything bad to say about firemen before. And I'm thinking like, yeah, well, I'm just saying, that, they was wrong. But I'm not seeing any change in myself. But people said that they could see that I was different. I was different. Different. So, trying to stay the same after a tragedy. Why do we try to stay the same after a tragedy? I don't want to have none of my niggas looking after me, saying, oh, are you okay, checking up on you, God. I know that what you're going through is hard, but it's going to be okay. I can guarantee you're going to be okay. One day you'll see you're going to rock and be the same man that you was before. You might be better for sure. You're the type of guy that looks real fly. You do a lot of things helping other people to get by, and I know that the blessings are going to come in the bound, and yo, you going to be the loudest one around. Right now, you're going through a tragedy, a little hurt, kind of like a growth spurt. Don't worry about nothing. You're no bluffing. You're going to be okay because you always been about something. These niggas out here is nothing but haters. They're something like traitors. They be like, a fish on the beta, but speaking of beta, you're not a beta male. You're the alpha. You the motherfucking man and not alfalfa. With hair sticking up over the head. Why did they make alfalfa look like that? Crazy. Okay, anyway, that's what we're talking about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, so let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. Yay, yay, yay. On a Saturday. And it is Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality and try to figure out this thing called, we take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun752. A.K.A. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. But what I don't want you to do is say Lamar with the Don't say Lamar with the All right, anyway. So we're talking about trying to stay the same after the tragedy. What's going on, T. Carrie? Right, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people going directly into your site. And my brother Ansel Jones, Baltimore, brother, girl, can't leave him alone. Emily Dunlap is in the house. Wow, she about to turn it out. And Stacey White, yo, thanks for coming on through. We know everything is good. I know how you do this work. What up, y'all? What's going on? On. How y'all feeling? I hope that you're feeling real good. Hope that you're feeling real good. All right, man. So we're talking about trying to stay the same after the tragedy. You know, not everybody wants people fawning all over them and crying all over them, saying, everything is going to be all right, man. You know, because you a warrior. And you gonna make it, man. You built for this. And you, all of that. Everybody don't require that. Everybody doesn't require that. They don't require it, son. Everybody doesn't require that. And for some people, that's the last thing that they want. They don't want people treating them like they've been hurt. They don't want people consoling them like they've been the loser. It's all psychological. It's all psychological. Some people like to be babied, and some people only want to be babied on their own terms. Like, yeah, baby me, comfort me, but don't sympathize over me, because you want to seem strong. And something inside of some of us makes us want to appear strong and resilient. It's an admirable quality, and it's a quality that not everybody shares. And the people who don't have that quality wish that they had that quality. They wish they had that quality. Quality time. Quality time. You know. Shout out to High Five. Rest in peace to Tony Thompson. Shout out to High Five. Rest in peace to Tony Thompson, baby. Let me see what y'all talking about. Let me see what y'all talking about. What you talking about? Okay. T. Carey Wright says, I don't hide my hurt. I just don't share it with everyone. Understandable. Ansel Jones says, when someone is hurt, when someone is hurt, the other people is because it, wait a minute, they hurt other people because that's always their support system. Okay. So you're saying that hurt people? All right. He says their support system may feel like they missed a step. Okay. T. Carey Wright says, I felt like I failed. I felt like I failed TT. I had no idea he was sick. I thought that he was just asking for money. He was embarrassed to share that he got sick from his own neglect. Oh man, that's tough. Survivor's remorse, survivor's guilt is tough. It's tough. And it can be even more tougher to try to appear resilient or normal after the guilt that you feel just for you being here. Man, that's a hurting thing when you feel like, when you have to ask yourself, well, why am I here and such is gone? You supposed to be here. But we can't see it that way at the time. We don't look at it that way at the time. Why am I here and such is gone? They should be here and I should be gone. Well, you didn't do anything to be gone. A lot of times you didn't do anything to be gone. Some people have done things to make themselves go. For example, if you and I stick up the store, armed robbery, and the store owners or whatever get the drop on us, and they shoot my Cody, I get away. Maybe he shot me too, but maybe he shot me too or shot at me, but he got my man. My man dies on the scene. I get away. Yeah, I might have if I don't have no survivor's guilt over that, then I'm a hard, cold, no good motherfucker, and nobody should ever, ever want to kick it with me. But I get it. I get it. And T. Carey Wright, I felt the same way when my uncle passed with cancer. I at the time, I thought I could help people get cured. You know, I was just starting to get in that naturopathic stuff like that, and I was drinking the Kool-Aid. Not that I don't believe in naturopathic remedies and stuff like that, but come on, man. They always talk about cure, but there's no cure for death. It's coming. All right. But keep your head up. Keep your head up. Please try to keep your head up. Emily Dunlap, Huzzy. That little hussy. My accident was a tragedy, and I'm sure I'm not the same. Not just financially, but I don't see and talk to people I used to. Even though I've always been reserved. It just feels different now. So, see, you're acknowledging your differences, but you probably have tried to get back to the things that you used to enjoy. And you know, Emily, it's really hard when you're not physically able to be the person that you used to be. That's hard. You know what I mean? It is. Like, it could be a small thing. Like, maybe you were really good at basketball and you had crazy ups. You might have had a 48-inch vertical. That's a 4-foot vertical. That ain't easy to do, to drop, to jump that high from a standing position, but you might have been able to do it. You might have been able to do it, and maybe, you know, you broke your leg or something like that, and you're not able to strengthen your legs back to pre-existing condition to the point where you could jump that high, and you might miss it. And it can cause some people to become really depressed. Not being able to do the thing very well that you used to be able to do is a hard pill to swallow, but keep your head up. You know what I mean? So trying to get back to normal, trying to show everybody like I'm good, good. Wow, Emmy says, you're so right, especially about basketball. I hate I can't anymore. Oh, you used to play. I ain't know. Wow, you and Cheryl the Pearl, y'all both, look, Cheryl can shoot your lights out. She will shoot your lights out like water. And she's brash, and she brags, and you know what I mean? She trash talks. She better not come on this live today. All right. TK Wright says, when a person loses trust in a person or group, their demeanor is different. It's closed off, or there may be a wall put up where there once was none. When somebody betrays you, man, when somebody shows you their true colors shining through, I see your true colors. And you a bum nigga, the fuck out my face. Ain't trying to hit nothing, you true color. Bum nigga, you're nothing but a stank hoe. All right. Yeah. You know, somebody cheated on you. Somebody is kicking it with your enemies, talking shit about you, hanging out with the ops. Somebody who you trusted set you up to get robbed. Somebody created an atmosphere where you had to defend yourself against allegations that were totally unfounded, that kind of shit. Shit like that. But yeah, and you can, you know, you might be like, well, you know, this person isn't like all people. Like, getting hurt in a relationship can have you like that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like all men are like the man that hurt me, or all women are like the bitch that dissed me. But people are going to notice. People who have known you for a long time, they have gotten used to certain things going on with you. And sometimes the pain or the damage that you can experience might just be age, maturity, growth. There's some tragic events that happen that just make you grow the fuck up. They make you realize you can't do the same things like you used to do. You can't be who you were. You can't do what you used to do. You got to make a change. Because you know, and I know, it's time for change. I don't know if y'all know that song. It was by Genesis. You know, Genesis, Phil Collins. And it was called If It's Going to Get Better. Let me see. Yeah, because that's what it says at the end. If it's gonna get better, it starts with a feeling. If it's gonna get better, it's gonna take time. If it's gonna get better, we've gotta start now. 'Cause I know everybody can't see it. And I know everybody can feel it. And it shows, and it shows I'm not dreaming. 'Cause you know, and I know, it's time for change.
Look the song up.
Phil Collins. You know how sick Phil Collins is now? Have you seen Phil Collins? Phil Collins is an old man, just physically. He's an old man. He can't perform anymore. You know, Phil Collins was a drummer and a lead singer. You know what I mean? Talk about being able to multitask. Drummers aren't normally the ones that do the singing. He was. So he belting out the drums in Genesis. And you know the group Genesis drum patterns was crazy. That they really made good use of the electric drum, real drum combination, the fusion between the real drums and electric drums. They made real drums sound like electric drums. That's what Genesis was good for. So imagine Phil Collins, the way he has to feel when he knew he used to beat on the drums and come off the drums to be the lead singer of Genesis and solo. Had all that success in the 80s, and, you know, now you wouldn't even recognize him. He was always a very regular-looking white man, but you wouldn't recognize him now. He's very sick. His degenerative condition is... But imagine having to retire from singing, because he can't stand. He don't want nobody. I'm sure he don't want his fans seeing him like that. He don't want to be on stage, you know, not able to interact with the fans, move from side to side, you know, up there looking like, and this is not a diss, but just keeping it a buck, up there looking like a quadriplegic and shit, you know, up there looking like a disabled person. He's a cripple. But shout out to Phil Collins, even though he never believed in hip-hop. Ansel Jones says, non-romantic breaking up with a coworker or someone you consider family. And so says, damn, I thought they was my ride or die. Yeah, they died. Not enough riding, too much dying. Stacy says, I have been to tragedy, still choose to keep a smile. I know some clothes. Wait a minute. I don't know. I know some people. I think that's what you're trying to say. I know some people see through what I've been going through. I hear you. And so says, you can't have someone curse you out, then treat them the same way. Some people can. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Daily Go Get 'em is show, baby. Stacy says, I have been in a house fire, so I know how you feel, Omar. We had to escape. I had to go back and get my mother. I lost all my keepsakes. Man, that fire shit is a bitch. And you know, there have been times when I asked people like online, you know, I put up posts asking, what do y'all think is worse, a fire or a flood? Because you lose both things in both. And I'm going to have to say fire, because in a flood, I can swim. I may be able to swim to safety, boat myself to safety, float myself to safety. And not only that, even if I lose my stuff in a flood, physically, it's still there. It may lose its ability to work, but it might still be physically there. In a fire, might have melted or, you know, grinded to do, or may have just burned away. But let me ask y'all that real quick. What do y'all think is worse, a flood or a fire? What's worse to y'all? If you've been through either, if you've been through either, you could probably answer that effectively. But nonetheless, your opinion matters. Yes, it does. It matters over him. What's worse to y'all, a flood or a fire? Not choosing to be involved in either one, of course. But in your humble opinion, or never to be a humble opinion, as my dad used to say, never to be humble. Okay. Stacy says, we build on our own. And oh, y'all built on your own and nobody helped us out. It was very hard. Emily says, I've been through a fire. Nothing saved besides pictures. Ugh. Shoot, at least you kept pictures. Normally, that's the worst thing. You lose all those memories from back in the day. You know what I mean? Man, anybody who has never seen their grandparents knows what I'm talking about. I have never laid eyes on my paternal grandmother. I don't know what she looks like. Ain't nobody got no fucking pictures? Because fires. Fires and theft. I don't know what my grandmother looks like. Nothing. Got nothing. TK Wright says, flood if you have children. Well, I've known people to lose children in a fire. Real shit, knock on wood. I don't know anybody who has lost their lives in a flood. That's not saying much. I bet you if I lived out in the Midwest or down south, because they have those flat lands, they're not mountainous like it is up here on the east. My conversation would probably be different if I lived in the south, particularly the deep south where they, you know, New Orleans, Mississippi, Alabama, where it be flooding like that. Stacey White says, all my concert tickets, all my albums, all mixtapes. I feel you, Stace. I do. Oh, my God. Losing your music. You know how your music be getting you through these hard times. It be, you know, you throwing your headphones or turn your volume all the way up and zone out. Take your shit back. Take it back to 82. Take it back to 88. Take it back to 94. Take it back to 2001. Whatever you need to go to, wherever you need to go to, your music can take you there. And you know, Stacey, you got me when you said all of your mixtapes. Because you know when you have your favorite mixtapes, you know how it is. You used to the next song being what it was on that mixtape. So whenever you hear certain favorite songs that you had that you had before, when you hear them play in another place, you know, you be waiting for that next song to come after it, that song that you had on your tape. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? So, yeah, I feel you. Yeah, trying to be normal after that, it ain't normal. Trying to stay the same. I can't stay the same. The things that I used to use in order to be the same or be sane, I don't have no more. My Sony Walkman and my Discman burnt up in fire. Stacey says, my emotions changed. I didn't value stuff like I used to because you might lose it. Oh, my God. Yeah. No longer overvalue material possessions, right? Yep. And, you know, that's kind of like a good thing. Depending on how deep you were. That's kind of like a deep, a good thing. You know, Stacey, you could chalk that up to maturity. You could chalk that up to God. Sometimes when God sees that you put things before him or you put things before their proper, instead of putting them in the proper line of importance, and sometimes maybe he feels like you put them too far up in the line where they needed to be a little bit. And it's hard to say because we're not saying that you were trying to keep up with the Joneses or that you were materialistic. You never know the lesson that life is trying to teach you. But you got to admit that it's always teaching us a lesson. And it teaches us lessons that we will not soon forget. But shout out to your music collection. Shout out to your mixtapes. Shout out to those memories. That's the best thing about the internet right now. You can at least recover all of that music if you can remember the names of the stuff. Sometimes we had mixtapes, you know, sometimes we ain't know the name of the person that sung the shit. No, like particularly if you got like a reggae mixtape and it's like, man, I've had fucking reggae mix CDs that had 80 songs on it. No bulls. I'm like, 80 songs? 80 songs. Twenty different versions of the beat from Murder, She Wrote. Come on, Jamaican. Come on, y'all boy. Get a new beat. It's time for a new beat. Them old rhythms. We need new rhythms. You know, it's hard to read all of the I'm like, so you mean to tell me 80 artists are on this bitch? Yeah. I heard about a girl named Maxie. Oh, God. Down. 80 different ones, nigga. We need new rhythms. I demand new rhythms. T.J. Wright says, because like during Hurricane Katrina and Sandy, the water current in the streets separated kids from parents who were trying to swim to safety. You're right. Yeah. Hurricane Katrina. Well, man, I will never forget no Hurricane Katrina. That shit. New Orleans has never recovered. New Orleans is still popping, but it ain't the same. It'll never be the same. New Orleans was Freaknik before Hurricane Katrina. Now it's like Jones Beach. New Orleans was Freaknik before Hurricane Katrina. Now it's more like Jones Beach. Maybe Bike Week. No, North Carolina. I mean South Carolina. DK Wright says, now we can play a song, then ask Siri with the name of the song. I know, right? You can sing the joint. You know what I mean? They can pick it up. Like, oh, there that. Oh, yeah. So Stacey used to go to a lot of shows. All your concert tickets, all your keepsake concert tickets. Yo, you know what? Now they don't even have concert tickets no more. You don't get no physical ticket. Everything is on your phone. Like, that's corny, man. Because I used to save tickets, too. Stacey says, I can go to bars. I went to a lot of concerts. Yeah, man, but trying to stay the same after a tragedy. Trying to appear to be okay. Like, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'm straight, man. You know what I mean? You know, Rock of Gibraltar, super resilient. Tough as nails. Strong as an ox. That's what my daddy used to always say about me and my brothers. Oh, my God, you are strong as an ox. And he wasn't bullshitting. He was like, you are strong as an ox. Strong as an ox. An ox is pretty strong. After my dad passed in 2021, people said that I was different. You couldn't have told me that I was different. But they could see it in your eyes, baby. They could see it in your eyes. They could see it in your face. They could see it in your demeanor. They could see it in your tolerance. They can see it in your energy and in your spirit and in your soul. They could see it. And when four or five people brought it to my attention, I'm like, what? My mom told me. My sisters told me. I'm like, well, what about y'all? Y'all ain't the same. They were like, yeah, but not like you, O. And that's probably because they were used to me. I don't even know what they saw. I don't know what everybody saw. I don't know. But my mom and my sisters were the first ones to openly bring it to my attention. I started asking other people, and they was like, yeah, you're a little different. I don't want to say nothing. Okay. Stacey says, I'm strong, but I hope I don't break. I think you might be all right. TK Wright says, after I was homeless with a new baby and a toddler, I was definitely different. Only lasted 3 months, but still, if I felt different. Shit, 3 months being homeless, that ain't no only in it. That sounds like a lifetime to me. I'd be scared as shit. I mean, you got to be a strong person to endure that. That's not a small thing, a small feat. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all, man. Not at all. That is a big deal to be able to get past something like that. Shout out to you, T. Carrie Wright and Stacey White, for getting through these problems that have been these serious. Oh, also you, Emily, for getting through these big, gigantic, ginormous problems that would break the average person or sometimes the even bigger Goliath. They would be the rock, the slingshot with a rock to Goliath. Topple that giant, fool. Toppling. Sidebar, random. Who do giants have sex with? Because I always see giants, you know, being male. I'll never be seeing no female giants, so... You know, I figure if you giant, you probably should have at least a giant-sized dick. So who do you procreate with when you're a giant? Where do horny giants go? Do they find their stank holes? Back to the open arms of a tall girl standing there. Amazons ain't giants. You know what I mean? Amazons ain't giants. I'm talking about, you know, like Goliath. Who was Goliath fucking? Who, from whence did Goliath come? TK Wright says, obviously giant bitches. Ah! Ah! I ain't never seen one. I need to see these giant bitches, these female giants that these regular that these male giants are procreating with. Like, where's the giant community? Where's the giant community? Speaking of giants, the New York Giants have never lost a Super Bowl, have they? You bastards. Wait a minute. They lost one. I know they lost one. Because they went to the Super Bowl in like 2000? When the Giants used to beat us. Have the New York Giants ever lost a Super Bowl?
According to Sportskeeda, the Giants have lost
the Ravens. Super Bowl, yeah.
That is against the Baltimore Ravens in 2001.
Yeah. I'm about to say, yeah. Damn Giants. Yeah, they lost one Super Bowl. Super Bowl. Bastards have won 4. Motherfucker. Yeah, the 2000 Ravens. That's when Ray Lewis got in that trouble. So he was the MVP. He was the MVP and still couldn't take the stage because, you know, he had a bad name, you know, for shooting that bull. Oh, yeah, he said he ain't shoot him. But somebody dead. YouTube, I can't say that. Somebody's unalived because of Ray Lewis. That unaliver. Ray unalived them. GK, right? The giant community is living next door to the rainbow. Where do horny giants go? Do they find their stink holes? Back to the open arms of a tall girl standing there. Well, one thing we know, that them giants ain't going to be able to get with Brittany Griner. They're going to have to find another giant. Ray Ray and Ray Rice, don't do it. Don't do it. Ray Rice came way later. He came way later, Ray Rice. Ray Rice. Ray Rice. Baltimore. Be more of me turning out some let's just say, hurt Baltimore players, hurt other Baltimore players. Well, Ray Lewis unalived the boy down in Atlanta. So, yeah, right. So I learned it from watching you. I learned it from watching you. No, you didn't. I hid my shame from you. All right. All right, man. You know, trying to stay the same after a tragedy. After a tragedy, public embarrassment, public humiliation, having to face the people who looked up to you for so long and so passionately, trying to put on a good face after you have been defamed in front of them. Everybody thought that you were so great, that you were so helpful, that you were so loving, that you were so community oriented, that you was such a great leader, and they found out that you had a thing for little young girls. Can't excuse that. You had a thing when your Jim Baker tip. Yeah. From grace, you had a big slip. How do you face it? A lot of people really can't face it. May have to face doing time. Maybe you beat the case, but you can't get your reputation to race, and you know that you have taken a fall, and you look bad in front of all y'all, and you're trying to make your way back to where you used to be, the prominence, and see that I'm really a good person. I just had a, leap of faith. No, what I had was a moment of the flesh taking over. You know how the flesh be taking over. Yeah, the shit be taking over like a fashion nova, like Villanova. The motherfuckers is over. But yeah, how do you do it? How do you do it? Being public humiliated. A lot of people can't come back from a public humiliation. And it could be something small. You know, I get it. I get it when these young people out here, you know, fall into a depression or really spiral downward after they have been humiliated on the internet. You know, you get your ass whooped for millions of people to see. That shit go viral. He got his ass whooped. High. You got to deal with people writing in the comments and shit. Bad money. It can lead to way, way worse situations and circumstances. But public humiliation, it can come in a lot of different forms. Like I said, you know, a secret that you may have been trying to keep comes out. Somebody revealed that shit. Somebody revealed it. I wonder if Donald Trump is feeling any of that right now. You know, when he had to pay out that $5 million for that sexual assault. It could have been jail time. But this man is so used to beating cases. He's so used to having things being swept under the rug. He's so used to being able to pay people off, and he wasn't able to do it this time. What's good? This man should not be walking the streets. That woman accused him of rape. She took the sexual assault for the money and a civil lawsuit. Who ever heard of rape being a civil lawsuit? Who ever heard of that? That is a criminal case. He should be doing time. So he can act like he never knew the woman and all of that kind of shit. Yo, that's a fail, dog. You did that. You may not have done exactly what she say that you did in the way that you say, in the way that she said that you did it, but you did something. And yes, you do know her. And yeah, you did take the shot. And there's going to be some more worse things to come for you, doggy. Yes, there is. Because you showed no remorse. No remorse, no sorrow, no regret. Not even if I could do it all over again. How does it go? How does it end? When two hearts belong together. Hold on. We go get it. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, here we go. Oh, no, because we were as close as two could be. We knew love could last forever. We're more than just lovers. We're good friends, huh? And even if our love has drifted away, I wouldn't even think twice if I wanted love back again. Because I still say yes, come on, y'all, yes to you again, my darling. For you, I do it all again. Yes, I still say yes. Okay, here go the part I wanted. Where does it go? How does it end? The true love, it seems so easy. Because we had no doubt. I
can't get it. I gotta listen to this song.
But y'all, you know. Cinderella, Dave Dane, and Mia Cunningham. What's going on? Y'all just snuck in the back door.
Jerry says, "You are never the same. You just grow from it."
Well, we know that you'll never be the same, but what's your determination, or how important is it for you to appear the same? I'm saying that you're trying to put a front. I'm saying that you want to get back to a place that's familiar and comfortable for you. So what's your determination to get back there? To a place that's familiar, that's comfortable, that's workable for you.
That's more of the question. Mia says, I don't think you are ever the same after a tragedy. Stacey says, losing my cat was a tragedy. People downplay losing an animal, a pet. It's not a small thing. Because so many times, your pets are like your, they're like your family. A lot of people who don't have children. Are attached to their pets, you know. And man, when Lovey died, man, I cried like a baby when I had to, because I had to get her put down. Like, man, I felt like I betrayed her. Like, seeing her in that cage, you know, talking to her, like, listen, I knew she could feel me, like, you gonna let these motherfuckers do this? Like, we can ride this out. Let me die with honor. That's kind of like, it's almost like I can hear her say that. Like, let me die at home where I'm supposed to. Well, shoot, when y'all want to die, y'all come home on hospice, y'all want to die at home. Why can't I die at home, Dad? Yeah, losing a cat, she was even 19 years old. With me most of my adult life. This shit was hard. It was hard, man. It was hard. Hard. Mia says, you learn new ways to cope and what may trigger you as a result. Sometimes it takes a while to know those trigger behaviors come from the tragedy. Ugh. PTSD all day. Triumphs and tragedies change you. Yes. Damn. Ansel says the new R. Kelly concert was hands down the best one. When was that? Stacey says, Stacey and Aspen, two hearts belong together. Okay. All right. My darling, for you, I do it. Okay. Mia said, Ansel, what R. Kelly concert? Hell no. Mia said, time, grace, counseling helps to deal with tragedy. Definitely. She says, supportive people in your corner help. Screaming, crying, and a PTSD. Yeah, man, this is real shit. It's real. It's too real. Sometimes it be too real, son. See you, son. Start crying. Part of trying to appear the same or get back to a familiar feeling has a lot to do with being able to have access to the same things that made you who you were when you before the tragedy happened. So that's what makes it so hard when you lose your stuff in a fire or something like that, because now you don't have this stuff. Lose your music, videos, stuff like that. You don't have it. Maybe your favorite couch or a chair or something like that. That's where you used to cool out. And now you're not can do it. You're not can do that. Um,
Yeah, it's tough, tough, tickety, tick, tick, tough, 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 tickety, tick, 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 tickety. But we try to make it through. We try to. And it's important that we get back at least close to what we know. Because the things that you probably can do the best are the things that you know the best. That ain't hard, right? That ain't no hard one. I know how to do this. So, you know, like, you know how people be like, man, I've been doing this for 20 years, 30 years. I know this inside and out. So you know how, like, when tragedy strikes and something that you have done well for 20, 30, 40 years, now you can't do no more. You think you're going to appear the same? When that happens, you know how they say when one door closes, another door opens. Yeah, that's great in theory, but in reality, we know that it takes a while for that door to be open to the point, or it can take a while before we want to open that door. You might be like, I ain't going through that door. He says, oh, my God, I would be so hurt if something happened to my Nyla. She's my little nut bucky. Okay. Stacey White says, I could have put my valuables on eBay. Yeah, the Monday morning. It was try to stay away from the Monday morning quarterback. Like when you lose money and you be like, yo, I could have did this with the money. I could have did that with the money. I could have helped the homeless. I could have fed little Guatemalan kids. I could have went to Asia, Africa, Tokyo, Mexico. We went to the places where the people told us not to go. Some people say the man's playing games. Some people say he man's insane. Some people, okay. We on a world tour with Mr. Malcolm McLaren going each and every place, including Spain, Asia, Africa, Tokyo, Mexico. We went to the places where the people told us not to go. I know what we about to go now. We about to go do these birthday shout-outs, y'all. It's time. It's time. Okay. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. May 20th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They get number one out the box. My girl, go get her, Angela Hawkins. Happy birthday to you, turning 54 years old today. And Cindy Vincente Rivera, turning 48 years old today. And also Marsha Alfred, happy birthday to you. And Tawana L. Jones, turning 40 years old today. You go. And Claudine Jean, or that's Claudine Jean, happy birthday to you. And Mrs. D.D. Monroe, pretty wife. Mrs. D.D. Monroe, pretty wife, turning 45 years old today. And my girl, B. Rivas, happy birthday to you. And Makeda Hughes, happy birthday. And last but not least, Patrice Whitsett. I want to say, I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes to each and every person out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. May 20th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. Turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait.
Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, try to stay the same. After a tragedy, they might be the same, but you might be mad at me because I'm not the same person or the same G that you used to. So you got to make an adjustment. See, things going to change. Change going to come, and I'm not going to act like we dumb because it can make you numb when you can't feel. You can't feel like you can consider anything real except for the reality going inside your mind, and you're trying to find the best place of comfort that you can find. But sometimes it's really hard and very elusive, and this is not an exclusive thing that I'm saying to you. You might have heard it before, but I know one thing for sure. You're going to be okay. You're going to be all right, but it's going to take time. It's going to take some days and nights, and when the time comes, yo, you're going to be from where you came from, go where you got to go, and I know that you're going to be all right. That's what I know, and I'm really kind of sure. And that's sure. That's how they say sure down south and out in the Midwest and you know, shit like that. But the best thing that you can do for yourself is get some counseling. When tragedy strikes, when the price hikes, when the things go down, when the money gets lost, when the bodies are gone, when the spirit is tossed, and the things ain't happen the way that they used to, and you want to get a little boost to your self-esteem and ego and feelings. The only thing you want to do is feel good, but it's appealing to people that don't know you. They ain't trying to show you no grace or mercy, and the things feel like it's a rehearsed scene from a movie that you never wanted to watch. And you're going to be all right, but maybe not on my watch. It's going to be okay. You're going to be fine in due time. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow for another Urban Therapy with Sun show. I hope y'all enjoy listening to the broadcast as much as I enjoy broadcasting it to y'all. Please hit the like button, share the show, and subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. And have a great Saturday, May 20th. And hey, them Geminis are kicking in tomorrow. Kicking tomorrow, Notorious B.I.G. birthday tomorrow, Or is it the 22nd? I could have sworn it was the 21st. All right, though. This is the last day. Last day. The last dragon. I think. Let me see. I'm pretty sure. I mean, these Taurus-ass nukes. Yep, this is it. That's it. No mas. No mas. All right, y'all. So love is love, baby. So Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah.